Mike Rendon, thank you for coming today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. It's an honor to be part of this.
Well, thank you. Dallas, right?
Yes, sir.
How was the plane?
Not bad. You know, getting into LA, you got all kinds of choices, so
it
makes it easy.
You do American, huh?
Yeah. Dallas is an American hub, so you got to go with that.
Yeah. Well, you had a relationship with American, too, for a while, right?
I used to work there. That's right. I did several different things. One of the most interesting jobs is I managed the AirPass program. It's a prepaid travel program, typically for the high-end investment bankers, consulting firms. So millions of dollars of purchases up front. So pretty cool.
How long did you do that for?
I was there for about 3 years. Yep. But I spent quite a bit of years, 20 years or so in corporate life. I was with a lot of blue chips like Bank of America, American Airlines, Unilever, Nortel Networks. Ended my career with Alcon Labs, which is world's leading eye care company. And that was an exciting time. I was head of corporate strategy. We did all kinds of interesting assessments and stuff.
Well, I got to say, you do look like a really polished corporate guy. I was going to tell you that. I've known you for how long? 15 years now?
Maybe so, yeah.
Yeah. You know what? A lot of people ask me, though, and we're going to get into your current product and what you're selling, which is really exciting. I can't wait to get into that. But if you don't mind, because everybody always wants to know, right? Where'd you come from? Tell me a little bit about your family, because you have a big family, right?
Yeah.
If you're cool with it, and you start from there, and then take us to your corporate life, because you've got a very interesting corporate life, and you were a captain, sailboat, Coast Guard, all this stuff. So just fun stuff.
Done a lot of stuff for sure. Interesting. I look back as you're asking the question. Look back at some of the things, and certainly an interesting kind of lifespan so far. Hopefully, it continues, right? But I grew up in Florida, Miami, big time water sports, every water sport known to man I did. So it was great growing up that way. But of course, got into college, got an MBA, studied abroad. I studied economics in Europe. I'm actually a Marshall Fellow and have done a number of different things, traveled the world in a lot of different places, probably up to about 37 countries now. So I've done a lot of that kind of stuff. But corporate life was a big focus for me. Spent a lot of time in that area and then just working through different careers, different paths. What's interesting is I never really imagined getting into security industry and of any type, right? Being in corporate life, I mean, that's kind of a straight path, right? Working with security guard companies, HOAs, all of that stuff just kind of fell into my lap. So,
and that's what is so interesting, right? Because you're this corporate guy, right? And all of a sudden people say, well, how did Mike get into the security business, right? Because it can be, when we talk about the security business, well, you did get in the security business. You
yes.
did own a guard company. I can't believe I forgot that one.
That's right.
Right? Let's go back a little bit real quick. Just tell me about your family. You have a big family, right? We don't have to stay real long onto it, but just mm-hmm. a lot of people want to know. So a lot of it's like, what your dad did. Your dad get you in this business, or is this something just kind of a whole different direction? Education was a big thing, obviously. But mm-hmm. if you don't mind, just kind of, you got a lot of brothers and sisters with other people in corporate?
I do have two brothers, six sisters, mm-hmm. nine total. My dad was retired as the president of Dodge Mexico division. So he was in corporate most of his life. He retired at 55 and then spent the next 30 years doing his own entrepreneur type work. What's interesting about that is I asked him at 85, hey, 30 years in corporate, 30 years as an entrepreneur. Now, if you could go back, which would you pick? I was shocked with his answer. He said he would stay in the corporate life.
Really? Why did he say that?
Because at the end of the day, at 5 o'clock, you can turn it off. You can go home.
You know what?
And I both know at night, 2 a.m, we're up. We're thinking about the job. We're thinking about the company. And that's what he said, is you never turn it off.
That is so true. You know, that is fantastic.
Mm.
We think about it all the time, and you're right, and especially the business itself. It's not like we're running a, I don't know how you put it, an 8-to-5 clothing store, right? And we shut off at 5, and the customers come in, and then, you know, you're done till the next morning till you turn the key, right?
Yeah.
The business never stops. And then with the business we're going to talk about, which is Gate Century, Well, prior to that, let's go. Let's get into the security side. What made you?
How did I get there?
Yeah, you got to go there because that's really a great story.
Yeah, really no, is. And you're right. It's one of those things that just happens, right? A lot of people start a business because they started with their dad's business or whatever, right? In my case, it was no, there was no ties to the security industry. What happened was I was living in a gated community, and as is the case, everybody invites you to be part of the board, and it's probably the worst decision I ever made. No, the reality is being an HOA board member is a tough job. Sitting on the board, looking at processes, looking at security, looking at everything related to HOAs, you start to see gaps. You start to see problems that you can solve. And coming from the corporate world, that was my job. I solve problems. I find new solutions. We come up with a better way to do it, right? So, of course, every board member, if any board member ever watches this, they're going to say yes. Every board member thinks they can do it better. I mean, maybe they can, but it takes commitment. It takes time. So my view was, hey, our guard company, our guards in the gatehouse, they're writing stuff on paper. They're getting calls from homeowners left and right. They're getting bombarded by 10 different ways of texting and calls and people stopping at the gate telling them that they got a visitor. They let in the wrong people. They kept out the right people. They never got it right, right? Those guys are doing the best they can. And for the operators in your world, yeah, they're struggling to keep employees happy because it's a tough job. HOA security is not kick up your feet and watch a bunch of cameras as you control the corporate building in the middle of the night. HOA security means you stand up on your feet all day long as every single car that's coming through, you have to greet them, log them, check them in. It's a lot of work.
Sure.
So there's 300% turnover in the guard business for HOAs. That's crazy. All right. Just like any corporate guy, I can make this better. There's got to be a way, right? And I did. I went out and looked. There's a system. There's something. Do some research, and you find all these systems out there. But they're all kind of either too expensive or they're too focused on the corporate kind of setting. They got badges and printers and all these other things that HOAs just don't need. And that's when I said, well, let me just create something easy for our guards. Let's start with an Excel database. Okay, great. Then you realize you actually need the residents to get involved too. They need access to their account. So they want to keep their list current, so you got to give them access. Okay, you give them access to some Google Doc, but then everybody has access to the same info. That's not good. So then you start to see the evolution coming. All right, let's create something where they can log into their own account and they can just put their visitors on. People want it on an app. Okay, let's create an app to allow them to access their same information. Well, the guards need this, and the power goes out, and the computer's dead in the water. So what do you do? How do you fix that problem, right? It's a constant evolution of fixing problems so that it gets better and better. Okay, put the software for the guards on a tablet.
And then the other thing if we look at, too, is when you started this, I don't think there was all the other things that were involved, DoorDash, right, all the food deliveries. Now you got Amazon, right? So, and you got the vendors to control. Mm-hmm. And then you got not only that, vendors coming into the community that stack up at the gate, yep, right? So they're not just controlling residents/visitors. They have all these things. And you had to develop that and think along that. You had to go that direction too, right? Yeah. That was pretty, that was constantly developing for you as far as who can come in, who can't come in, and when, and to put that all together.
Man. A lot of challenges, for sure. I think this is one of the things I tell board members all over the country, and we've been in the business long enough now that we've got customers in 27 states, 10 different countries. We see the same problem everywhere. Just because you're in Trinidad, Tobago, doesn't mean it's the same thing as Dallas. They're the same problems. Same people coming in, same list of people to try to get in, DoorDash and all that stuff. I tell board members now that 10 years ago, you knew everybody that was coming in your gate. You had your landscape guy that you've used for 20 years and your cleaning lady that's almost family and all these other things. Today, with the invention of Uber and Grubhub and all that, it's nameless, faceless people. You don't know who's driving that car. They just show up in your door, they drop some food, and they leave. Who are they? If something happens in the neighborhood, how do you find them? Try calling Uber and asking them for the employee so-and-so that delivered my food. They're going to say, no, that was a guy that downloaded an app. He's driving. May not even be the guy that downloaded the app. Maybe borrowing somebody's app to do driving. Absolutely. Happens all the time.
Absolutely.
So the reality is the security of gated properties today is diminishing. We think it's increasing because we've got guards and we're taking in names and all that. But the security of the properties are diminishing because Amazon comes in to deliver at 4 in the morning. Can you believe that?
No. No, it's a huge issue. It really is. It's a major, major issue.
You can go back to crime studies that Uber itself did on its own drivers in 2019, and it'll show 3,000 assaults, 9 murders by Uber drivers within their cars. Uber has never done another study like that because they don't want people to know those numbers. And the reality is there's an increased level of risk for gated communities, for corporate offices, for anything that has these deliveries or people coming in. So you have to find ways to continue to improve security. Every single driver should be ID'd. Every plate number should be taken down. Everything you can do with cameras should be in place, because if a driver runs over a mailbox, or worse, runs over a person, how are you going to prove that that driver was in the car? A year later, when we're in court and you pull in that part-time guard that was working that shift, and you ask that guard, hey, I know you don't even work for that company anymore, but can you tell us if that was the guy driving the car? How's he going to know? But if you have his ID on file and you know that guy was the one driving and he is the guy that ran over the mailbox or worse, then you don't need the memory of a guard a year later.
You know, Mike, I'll tell you, I obviously used your product. Okay. I helped companies set it up. And this was obviously probably 5 or 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I want everybody to know, because you're bringing up some really good points, and this is going to be a great podcast for those looking for a visitor management tool. Because what we're talking about, and with your experience and everything that's involved with Gates Entry and how this is put together, is really a security tool. This isn't just a, you know, get in the pass, get in, get out real quick. People really need to focus. And you got some high-dollar communities that you deal with. These are resident homes. They're very expensive. And people want that sense of... people want that sense of security. And this is one way to really slow down, right? The cherry patch, I call it, allowing everybody and everybody to come in.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with, and I want your feedback on this, after COVID, after, you know, trying to defund the police and all that, police officers can't even get ID from people.
Wow.
Right? It's an argument. What do you pull me over? So only imagine a security person, security officer, at a guardhouse asking people, and you have that kind of mentality, and then now we have Uber drivers that potentially come in, right, with, you don't even know who they are.
Right.
I mean, some other country or whatever, they're driving these cars and doing the things that you mentioned. And that's what I love about the product and the way you're thinking alone. People really need to think about the security. This is a great selling point for them as a security company looking to really manage the community. But on a property management side, I think this is a direction you want to go to. I think we just go right to the property management. They really need to have a better understanding, and I hope they can see this. And they have every right as a homeowner to have that security. They're paying for right. Security personnel up in the front gate to do the job. Mm-hmm. We're giving them the tools to do it. And you know what? You have to have that. You know, this is your home, and it's only fair for the people that are coming home. Like when you leave work and you go through you come up to your gate, you go, oh, the traffic. The chaos.
You're home.
I made
you're
it
protected.
Home. I made it home. And then when you're home, you have to worry about who's coming in, who's going to steal your packages, right? And then you have this tool to prevent a lot of that. So can you tell the listeners and people, what do you're mentioning this and you're talking about it now. Is it getting better for you? Are people starting really to wake up because you are really being very proactive with your software and to make it easier for not only the end user or the user or the people to get registered in the system, the whole thing? Are people starting to get it? You know, are they more concerned now about security? Are they coming to you now because of that? They want that?
Somewhat. I mean, uh-huh. We are becoming known as the experts in the industry. right? I've been in the business 10 years, come from, like we talked about, a corporate background into this security space. So, you know, 10 years of now doing it, living it, being a gated community resident, board member, right? We'll talk about owning a security company at some point. But the reality is, for board members, if they just did the research and talked to us, they would realize all of these issues and we could help them through. We consult a lot with HOA boards on how to improve security. That's easy. That's an easy sell to them to understand how to improve their security. For property managers, which is an area you brought up, the challenge there is that they are really working at the direction of the board. So if their board doesn't tell them that they need to go find a visitor solution like Gate Sentry, they're not going to do it. They have too many things to do. Portfolio managers have 10, 15 properties they're managing, and they don't have time to worry about these kind of things because they're just trying to keep up with their budgets and all those other things. And if we approach the property manager and say, hey, here's a great idea, you should bring it to your board, they say, well, the challenge is if I bring it to them, now I have to go find three other companies to do three bids. And that's a challenge for them. So they're not going to support it as often because of the challenges they have in their job.
All right. Well, you sat on the board. And I want to spend the extra time on this because it's important because everybody needs to understand. So you got on the board for a reason. And most people that get on the board are people that want to see, they've got a proactive approach. They really want to help the community. They want to improve things. But then when they come on the board, there's other people there. We'll call them the Karens. Okay. They make it very, very difficult. Everybody wants to fight. You have your executive sessions. You have your meetings where you invite people. Hey, we're going to vote on, for an example, new roofs, or we're going to put new landscaping over here, and you try to go to vote. None of the residents participate. None of them come to the meetings like they're supposed to, so you guys have to, okay, we're going to go ahead and approve it, mm-hmm. All right? And when you do, then you get to fight the community, and it becomes so much chaos. You go, I'm done. I mean, they don't want to take my corporate suggestions. I'm here dedicating my time. I think I'm just going to, let it go.
Right.
And that makes it very, very difficult for, obviously, the property manager that has a contract with the association because they get overloaded, right? They say, okay, we're bringing this new tool, but now I'm going to have to help with the resident letters back then. I'm going to have to do this. You guys, and then I don't even have the cooperation with the board. It just becomes chaotic and it makes my job more difficult. And I think that's why it's hard sometimes to really implement good products. True? Not true?
In our case, because we've learned some of those pitfalls, we actually white glove the entire launch for the property manager, for the board members. We manage the entire process. The only thing they have to do is give us the information to set up the accounts, send out the communication that we send them. We've got pre-written communications that we send out on a regular, every 5 to 8 days so that they can keep the residents up to speed. But if the property manager is overloaded, they love Gate Sentry because there's not a lot of work for them, right? But I think the key is getting them over the hump of even making this decision. For property management companies that you're talking to, you just have to help them to make the comparisons of the competitors in this space, decide if you like Gate Sentry versus something else, and then we'll do the work for them. Other visitor management firms, I don't know what they do, whether they just give them the software and good luck or if they walk them through the process as well. But for the managers, yes. You first have to help them get over the hump, then help them do the work. And as soon as they realize that's what you're going to do, you'll get their support, right? Mm-hmm. But there's three different players in this field. There's the board members, there's the property manager, and then there's the security operators. And sometimes security operators come to us and say, hey, I'm putting in a bid for this property. I'd love to include Gate Sentry, right? And we do that. One of the biggest challenges for operators is that they can't afford to offer a visitor management system in most cases because of the upfront cost of setting up computers and all the barcode scanners and all those other things that every other company sells, right? So they basically just don't, because what can I do? I can do paper and pen for nothing, right? So for an operator to offer something like this is challenging until they find Gate Sentry, because with Gate Sentry, it's a tablet. They walk in the door with a tablet and they operate with a high-tech visitor management system. So anytime we have a good partner, we have security partners in certain key cities like Phoenix and Jacksonville and South Florida, they basically put every bid in with Gate Sentry, and it makes them stand apart from everybody else, because even Securitas or Allied, who has tools, who has a built-in visitor system, doesn't even sell it. Surprising.
No, it's not surprising. We're going to be direct. It's not surprising. So let's go back to that. So, for an example, I was in the industry for a long time, and SilverTrack was my software. Mm-hmm. I was the first one to market real-time reporting. But why SilverTrack was successful before I sold it, whole nother story there, is that I had industry experience.
Yeah.
And what's very unique, and we have to go there now, is that you had industry experience, okay? Not only as a corporate guy, not only as a board member, okay? But you took on a security company yourself. You had quite a few of them, HOA, and you became an expert, all right, while you were developing that software at the same time.
Right? That's right.
Pretty close. So that's where people really need to understand. So you understand the mindset of the teams and what it costs, what it takes to build, and the training. And that is a huge advantage versus the other tools that are out there today that are just selling software. They're selling the gate system, whatever you want to call it. They don't have the industry background. So you provide a lot of support in all aspects of, implementing that software program. So let's go back, if you don't mind.
Tell that story.
Yeah.
What was, of course, just an evolving software solution for my own gated community and the guards that worked there. They didn't work for me. They were third party. What became an evolving solution suddenly became sought after. Communities around us would be coming to visit their friends, and they'd see what the guards are using. They'd come to us and say, hey, what is this they are using? Where can I get this? So I realized, hey, I'm developing this for my own guards, but the reality is it's a bigger problem than just our neighborhood. Everybody has this problem. Like I said, even as far away as Trinidad or Jamaica or wherever. So, okay, you want it? Here you go. Give them some nominal charge. There you go. Fine. And I was sitting in a meeting with one of the boards. We're sitting around the table talking about gates entry, and this is how it works. And they said, we love this. We want to use this, but will you run our guard business as well? Look at them like you're crazy. I'm a corporate guy with an MBA. I don't do guard work. What am I? I don't know anything about guards. I literally knew nothing about guards other than what we were developing for gates entry. But how hard could it be? Tell that to all your operators.
I love this, Mike. I love this.
They would not be happy to hear me say that. How hard could it be? I was naive, right? Oh, I said, okay, sure. I'll take on your employees. I'll run them, and we'll put gates entry in. So it started just like that. I didn't really know what I was getting into. And before you know it, I've got 10 HOAs all over Dallas-Fort Worth, and we're using gates entry in every single one of them. Those guards are efficient because the software is efficient. And because I had those guard properties, we could test things with gates entry. And to me, that was a great environment. It was an incubator. We were testing new things with our own guards before we rolled it out to other properties, right? By now, we're selling gates entry externally to communities all over the country. We're managing it internally in our own security company in Dallas, and we're managing 10 different HOAs, and we're using that as an incubator on new ideas for gates entry. How do we improve this? And learning, of course. Mm-hmm. Does the guard use this process, or is it that process, right? And the key is, you know better than I do, there's guards from every level of education, mm-hmm. retired chief marketing officers who are bored and just want to go spend time in a gatehouse, mm-hmm. geniuses that can touch buttons on a tablet, to the least educated employee mm-hmm. who can still touch buttons on a tablet.
You're being very kind with that word. I love it. Go ahead.
Everybody knows what that means.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
The reality is you have to build a software that any level of education can use. So big buttons, touch screen, just tap, tap, go, right? And it has to be fast, 10 seconds or less. Get people in the door, right? Mm-hmm. Now what that did, operating a guardhouse or guard company, yes, insider knowledge on guards, call-offs, no-shows, everything that you guys and your team, your operators know about. But now, call any guard from any of our other properties. They walk in the door, and it's the same process. It's like McDonald's. You can take an employee from McDonald's in Long Beach, take them to Seal Beach, and they know how to flip the same burger because the process is the same. That's what Gates Entry does.
So you bring up really good. That's yeah. I always use the In-N-Out strategy, right? Because you don't see that guy
California,
move,
yeah.
Right? Because they just it's In-N-Out, yeah, exactly. But same thing, right? One spot, one place. Flip, turn, boom, right? It's done. And when I had my software, I had the same mindset. I said, it has to be so easy. I gave it to my daughter who was 4 or 5 years old at the time, and I gave it to her. And I said, if she can do it, then hopefully they can do it, right? Yep. And sometimes that was questionable, right? And you even got smart, like, my thumbs are too big. How many times did you hear that one? Oh, my thumbs are too big, right? Mm-hmm. So what'd you do? You made the buttons big, but where we're going with it, the important part about this is you weren't playing the telephone game with a bunch of vendors to learn your product or hoping they would call you or wait to as a problem. And even if it was a problem, it's not a 2 or 3 month process to say, well, once we get a bunch of complaints, then maybe we'll implement that. You were right in the field. You're there every day. You were in the house yourself. That's why you did such a great job. You were living it, right? Mm-hmm. And working it and building it. During those times when you owned that guard company. So that's a hell of an advantage.
Yep.
You know, and I think as frustrating as it is, because I think back about it, the pain you go through. It's like every day, but look what you put together. You know, look what you're able to put together was all because of that. So there's good and bad, good and bad and everything, I guess. But so that really puts you ahead, obviously, with your experience and background in doing that. So, how do you stay ahead now? You've got the basic foundation of the software. It's changed a lot since last. You were telling me some things today, and I'm like, I mean, I'm almost embarrassed. Like, Mike, you and I are good friends. I talk to you all the time, but it's like, you have really come a long way. So, kind of recap from the beginning, all right? Because you mentioned there's Uber, there's Amazon, you got visitors. I mean, this thing, technology itself.
Mm-hmm.
So, if we can, so take from the beginning to very basic and then where in the steps you've taken and where you're at today, which is very interesting.
Yep. No, I know that a big part of your audience is security operators. Mm-hmm. So they're always thinking about, you know, how do I make the process for my gate staff, my guards easier, especially in a visitor management solution, right? And that's why they come to you for SilverTrack and Vision Insights and all the other things that you mm-hmm. created, right? So when they need our product, great, Gates Entry works well. But what we found as we were marketing the product to customers is communities would say, yeah, I've got a guard at this gate, but I've got nothing over here. What do you do for me over here? How do I get visitors into this gate? Old style keypads. Mm-hmm. You know, the keypad industry has seen no real change in 50 years.
Yeah, I mean, we have them here in this building.
It's a hard keypad with a bunch of hard buttons. Oh, wait, the only innovation was touchscreen keypads. But it's still a keypad. Still hardware required to be installed, maintained. If it's vandalized, changed out. If it's hit by lightning, if power surge, all these other things, right? So the technology is 50 years old, but what do they have new? What's different about it? And as our customers would come to us and say, we'd love Gates Entry, but if you can't solve our problem for this gate over here, oh, and by the way, we'd love to control the access to the pool or the clubhouse. There's all kinds of tools out there for that, but you do have to install. You have to spend the money. So what's interesting is why should a customer spend the money on a hardware tool, a keypad, to be installed, plus all the protection around it and, you know, all these things you have to do. Why should they spend that money when every person coming to the gate or door has more technology in their hand than they're installing? Why can't we use this technology?
Oh, I'll tell you what they're going to come. I'd love to hear your feedback on this. Well, what if we don't have our phones, Mike? I want to be able to go to that keypad. And you said something very interesting. Tell me.
Yeah, it's an interesting question because it comes up a lot.
Sure.
Customers a lot. When I talk about our solution, which we'll introduce here in a moment. But when I talk about it, they say the same thing. Oh, yeah, well, what if somebody comes to the gate and they don't have their phone? So I always say, well, you know, have you been to the beach lately? Oh, yeah, Florida, California, where I went to the beach, yeah. You went down with your swimsuit and your towel over your shoulder. Did you take your wallet with you? No, I left that in the hotel. Did you take your phone to the beach?
That's a great one.
Everybody hits it really quickly. Like, yes, of course I take my phone everywhere. People, if you leave your house without your wallet, you think, okay, I can drive around without an ID. Hopefully I don't get pulled over. Man, you know what? I got a picture of it in my phone anyway. What if I need to buy something? I got my Apple Pay, right? Not everybody does that, but if you got gas in your car, you can get around, get your stuff done, and get back home without your wallet, right?
Yeah.
But if you leave home without your phone, what do you do?
Oh, Mike, I'll be honest with you. As brain dead as I've become. That's the first, when I go out the door, I'm going, my phone. I didn't say, where's my wallet? Where's my keys? Where's my glasses? I go, my phone.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, good point.
Reality is, people bring up the objection. It's a valid objection. Okay, what if somebody shows up without their phone? But the truth be known, nobody leaves home. If you do, you turn around and go back and get your phone.
Yep.
Reality is, the phone is a lifeline for communicating. It's important for, you know, getting places, buying things, knowing where you're going. I mean, GPS nowadays is critical, right? So your phone has become a necessity. And so we did some studies on this since COVID, which I hate to bring up, but essentially since COVID, there's only 0.002% of the U.S. population that doesn't have a smartphone. Even the oldest folks, the oldest grandmothers and grandfathers got smartphones because they wanted to FaceTime their kids, their grandkids, for COVID, right? During COVID, you had to learn how to scan QR codes to get the menu to even order at restaurants.
A great point.
Everybody knows what that stuff is. So the objection is noted, but it's not valid anymore.
Yeah, I remember when I first started, again, my program, everybody told me, oh, nobody uses email. That's pretty scary, isn't it? Now look at it.
Yeah.
That's the way we communicate, but to your point. So you were telling me now, and I'm embarrassed to say it, you're telling me now you pretty much eliminated the keypad situation?
We have reverse engineered the entire process. That old 50-year-old technology is not needed any longer. Every customer we go to and talk about this, they're just floored by the idea because it really makes sense, very easy. We've been using this technology for about 10 years, but only since COVID we're able to actually start marketing this. But essentially, replacing a keypad with this. Very simple. Just put a sign up at the door, at the gate, wherever. People, our customers are using this for pool entries, for clubhouse entries, for vehicle entries. All they have to do is when the visitor comes up to this, scan the QR code, just like the menus.
So can I do that right now?
Sure.
So I can take my phone. I can scan it. Okay, that came up easy. Allow.
Virtual keypad.
That is really cool.
Virtual keypad. It's the first real innovation in the keypad industry in 50 years.
So just enter the code.
Enter the code. Software sends it through our server, validates if that person's code is true and valid, right? The code is dynamic. It only works while you are an authorized visitor. If I put you on the list for today, great, your code works for today. Tomorrow, try to come back and use it, doesn't work. The system is dynamically managing authorization times.
You know, I'm embarrassed to say this, but with the keypads, I can't even tell you how many times I've almost scratched my car. Or I don't have the long enough arms.
Yeah.
Unseat belt, get out of the car, stretch out to go mess with the keypad. So that's pretty.
People don't want to touch the keys. How many people have done that? They spray it or wipe it or something.
Sure. Like,
I mean, especially during COVID, people didn't even want to open their window.
You know, the other thing too, shaky hands.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Even on the digital keypads, I was noticing the other day, I was trying to go through a car wash and. You know, and I'm trying to...
Too
much coffee. I'm pushing the wrong button, and I'm trying to clear it. So anyhow.
Yeah. I think the reality is that anything that you're doing with hardware today is where gate sentry strategy is to eliminate the hardware. We did that 10, 15 years ago when we eliminated all of the computer technology the guards use at the gatehouse with the tablet. That was 15 years ago. This is all they needed. They could scan IDs. They could open gates. They could send notifications to residents. They could send out email messages with one tablet, right?
So
that's it.
So you're saying you don't even need that computer. That was a big issue.
That was 15 years ago we did that.
God, that's right? Time flies, Mike.
And so today we're eliminating the need for keypads, fobs, clickers, you know, the little thing in your car that you push the button to open a garage. You don't even need that anymore, right? All we need is a sign at the gate, and every visitor can do it through their phone. And it's not even an app they're downloading. It's a temporary website that opens up that keypad and they enter the code.
And that opens it. Will that open the gate as well?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
So gates, doors, entrances to the pools. I mean, our customers were begging for that. So now Gate Sentry can work with gated communities. We work with gated corporate offices. We all kinds of facilities, right? Oil field drilling sites, country clubs, and unmanned or non-guarded properties. So if you want to control access to a building, a pool, a gate, parking facility, whatever you want, with this QR code, you're done. You're up and running in a day. No need to install wiring and drill and bore through the concrete and all those other things that people do or used to do. It's all gone.
And then, of course, it's tracking everybody that's coming in, which is nice. So you get the flow of traffic, the numbers, the people, all mm-hmm. that.
Yeah. The gate codes themselves are unique to every visitor. So if I issue you a gate code for my own community, that's your code for life. No one else will ever get that code. That's just Chris Anderson's code. So every time you use that code, it pops up that Chris Anderson came in. It knows who you're visiting, Mike. It knows what time you came in. So we're tracking everything. And we could still send a resident notification that says, hey, Chris Anderson just opened the gate. He's coming in. And there's no guard even anywhere around that property. So we're able to really continue the security of a property while still doing innovative things like this.
Well, I see a big advantage just with the vendors mm-hmm. who claim they came in to do the landscaping or what time they came in, total mm-hmm. control, landscaping, pool supply people that come in and claim, oh, yeah, I cleaned your pool. Did you? I mean, you're controlling at the gate.
Yeah, that's right.
Time in, time out.
Yeah, you can
how many homes
they
go
out.
To? That was a major issue.
Mm-hmm.
Major issue. That is. How's that working? I bet you there's a lot of excitement with that.
Right. We've got customers now that have a mix of both guards and non-guards that we were never able to serve before. Now, perfect customers that love us and give references to other new clients. We've got clients where there's no guards. We've got, like I said, facilities. We're working with storage facilities. Think about that. You pull them into a storage facility. There's not a person on the property anywhere. There's just a keypad there, and you plug in your code, and you go to your storage locker, and you put your stuff in. We've replaced that. It's a number of storage sites, even as far away as Canada, where they're using our virtual keypad to manage access into the storage facilities.
Oh, yeah. Just think about the information you're giving them. It's so much better. Even if the old keypads, they don't give you that data. They mm-hmm. don't what that code was used, maybe.
Well, it was always also used 4,000 times that day by who knows.
Yeah, who knows. Yeah, who? Yeah, right? Everybody gives it away.
Everybody knows the code. They just go up there and use it. Now, if you use a specific code, we know whose code that was. If a code is used once, it can't be reused in the 15-minute time span. So right. It's locking out multiple users.
An installation? How big deal?
There is no installation. Put a sign on the wall, right? There is one hardware component that's added to the gate hardware itself.
Okay.
But that is a 15-minute install. All of our installers that work on these, maybe 15 minutes of time and a couple $100 of charge.
So what's that look like? How, is it a big
it's
box,
about
small
a
box?
What? 3x3-inch box.
Really?
Right? And it's very small. And it can go into the guard motor or the gate motor itself. It can go in a gatehouse. It can go wherever you want it. And it can be run through Wi-Fi or internet and cellular. So it has a failover. If the internet goes down, it goes over to cellular. Or if you have a location that's very remote, we can do it with just the cellular.
What kind of technical background to hook it up? Is it pretty easy?
Pretty easy, I think, yeah. We've had, like I said, some of our security partners, not security, storage partners.
Yeah.
They've installed it themselves. Yeah. It's a regular AC plug. Connect it to the gate wires. You're done. The rest works through our server.
Pretty simple.
It is, and I think the key is, and you asked the question earlier, if you're not continuously innovating, then you're going to be left behind, right? This means the same for guard companies, operators who they've been doing guard business for 1978, right?
Mm-hmm.
The guard itself isn't necessarily any different, but the technology you give that guy to be able to do his job well and track the information well has to evolve, right? So if they're not using technology and they're using pen and paper to clipboards to do all their work, it's no wonder if the company's going to come and cut you guys and bring in a different operator. If you're not using technology, even Vision Insights, to go do your guard tours, use AI to come up with the reporting, then you're using old technology. They're going to cut you.
Vision Insights is the simplest, most powerful security guard management software. No long training, no complicated systems. Guards can start reporting in minutes. Train your teams with micro trainings, attaching video to individual checkpoints to walk them through sensitive procedures. Submit accurate reports every time with dynamic observations that automatically rewrite, categorize, and prioritize, removing human error. And grow your business with daily, monthly, and quarterly insights, the most advanced reports available today. Vision Insights, the simplest, most powerful way to report.
Yeah. And I've always told them, you guys, you're making it more difficult than yourself, right? Because with bad software tools and stuff like that, you only look bad, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, and I get it. It's kind of a hard situation sometimes because they got older products that are in there. And I said, that are, you know, I've got a lot older, I won't mention, but like Dwelling Live's been around forever, right?
Yeah.
And that's paper-based, right? And they're spending money on paper. They're doing a lot of things with that. There's so much cost. So you've eliminated a lot of that as well.
That's right. Yeah. Dwelling Live, a good company in its day.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the companies I considered for my own community before starting Gates Entry. So not wanting to say bad things about the company, but everything ages. So if those companies are not improving, enhancing, coming up with new ideas, then they're going to fade away. And I think it transfers to the security operators. If your guards are great guards and you got great uniforms, you got great training and all that stuff's wonderful, so does everybody else. What's different about you as an operator? You bring in technology that doesn't cost a lot of money to put together and to offer as part of your guard rate, and that technology continues to make you that much better because you're doing great AI reporting tools and guard tours and all those other things, plus visitor management tools, then your company is advancing as well. So you don't have to come up with the latest, newest way to put a guard up in the gatehouse, but you do have to ensure that you're using the latest technology.
Yeah. So you bring a really good point, and let's be truthful. So I'm a homeowner association. I'm using, you know, the current software program, whatever it may be, Gate. Even with Gate Sentry, and we're not trying to eliminate the guard service technically, but we are trying to save the community a lot of money. So how can they, what would you suggest, what's your sale to somebody that's running 24-hour access and they're using these other tools? How much can they really save? Let's go there. How much can they really save?
Yeah. The security operators aren't going to like this, but they're already getting the pressure. You've seen the minimum wages going up, California, Arizona, New Mexico, New Jersey, right?
Yeah.
And they're getting pressured. The HOAs or anybody that uses guard service are getting pressured because your guards can go to McDonald's and get $20, $25 an hour.
Yeah, exactly. Dishwasher makes more.
Why are they going to work in a guardhouse, right? So if the guard company is increasing their rates because of that, then the HOA is going to come back and say, I need to find a way to cut costs. And I can cut one-third of their budget overnight, to play on words. Get rid of the overnight guard, and you cut one-third of your budget, right? Three shifts, you cut one shift out.
Okay, let's go back. So you're talking about early mornings, like a 10 to 6, 10 p.m. to 6 a.m. guard, right? Things are kind of quiet. We've both been there. We know what they're doing. They're studying, reading their book, and they peek up once in a while. If they're awake. If they're awake. The lights are on. They can't see anything on the outside anyhow, right? So, or watching a movie these days on their phone.
That's right.
So, yeah, that's a very good point. That's a huge savings.
So, reality is, take what we were talking about a minute ago, where you can get rid of the guard, and without a lot of investment, you can put in a solution that does exactly what the guard's doing. Letting visitors in solo, by themselves, without the use of a guard at all, because in our technology, we've had thousands of data points, millions of data points, and we know typical entries between midnight and 6 a.m., one per night. You're paying a guard $20 an hour plus the overhead and everything else. You're paying that company $100,000 for that eight-hour shift only to let one person in on at night. What's the benefit of that, right? So replace the overnight guard with this technology. You got self-service access for the visitor, the one visitor that comes in a night. Mm-hmm. You still have all the technology, all the software, all the security, because we're tracking which vehicle came through, which visitor that was, who they were visiting. We're still sending notifications to the home to let them know, hey, Chris Anderson just opened the gate at 2:30 in the morning. He's coming to your house. Oh, wow. Okay, he made it. He got here from the airport, whatever, right? Yep. So the idea is they can cut a third of their budget. For HOAs, security budget is the largest single budget expense. And if you can cut a third of that overnight and still have the same security level, it's game changing.
Yeah. They could put a car inside and focus more inside.
Yeah, that's patrols. True. That's true. That, it may be better use of time, right?
Yeah. Well, that's pretty new to me. So what else we got going? Can you say? What's your development look like?
There's, like I said, you have to continually develop, mm-hmm. right? So we have a lot of different things we're doing. We've got VIP visitor passes, which are electronic now. This is eliminating printed passes because printed passes are, again, a thing of the past, so dinosaurs. Nobody really should be using them because the reason they call them passes is because I can pass my pass to you. You go to the gate, wave it at a guard, and the guard lets you through.
Yeah.
That's what happens all the time. So mm-hmm. printed passes are really a waste. And the guards don't recheck anybody. If they have a pass that's valid, let them through.
Yeah, you can go to Kinko's and make a real nice one too.
That's true. And you can copy them and give them to 10 of your friends. Mm-hmm. So with our electronic passes, the guard still has to scan the pass, check your ID, and make sure it's on file, right? As long as your ID is on file, it's a 3-second check-in process, right?
Yeah, that was a good point you mentioned earlier. So even when they scan that, their ID is already on there, so they don't have to ask it. They don't have to pull their wallet out. That's saving a whole bunch of time. Mm-hmm. It's already in the screen. The guard can verify, yeah. right?
There's a lot of time wasters in guard business at, mm-hmm. at gated entries, regardless of if it's residential, corporate, whatever. The guard walks out to the vehicle, asks them where you're going, who are you, walks back into the building, looks it up on the computer. You're not on file. Let me get your ID. Walks back out to get the ID. Walks back in to put all the information in. Walks back out there to... How many times is he going to walk back and forth? Right? Mike, that's a time waster.
Yeah, I've been there. Not only that, they don't have their ID or it's an argument. So, yeah, it's 100%.
That's right. And the time it takes for that guy to find his ID in his wallet or the lady in her purse, right? So all of those things, Gate Sentry cuts out. The first time a visitor comes in, we scan the ID into the system. We store it permanently, right? At that point, any time that visitor returns, the ID is already on file. They don't even need to be asked for the ID. Guard walks out to the vehicle with a tablet, so everything's on file, in hand, right there. They look it up. There's the visitor. Tap. Go. When you tap, the tablet can even trigger the gate, right? Gate opens, right? If you have a line of 50 cars, you can process them all in 10 seconds.
Yeah. See, no, that's another thing. My problem, one of the places we were at, the cars were stacking because they're real short to the street. They're mm-hmm. kind of coming around the corner, early morning vendors.
Police come and tell you to open the gate.
Yep. And the cars would stack because you're too busy having conversations. One car, two car, this person's why they're getting an ID. You're trying to help the other person, right? Oh, yeah. You got to get in the visitor lane. So, again, you're eliminating a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of time.
That's right. And with the new VIP electronic pass, it's a 3-second process because a visitor shows up with their tablet or their phone with the pass on their phone. Guard scans it, sees their profile, sees their ID, logs them in. Go. 3 seconds.
Yeah. You know the other advantage? To be truthful. A lot easier for the guards. Mm-hmm. Anything we can do to shorten their time frame, their frustration, dealing and talking or whatever makes their job a lot easier, which creates retention because that's right. A lot of them just didn't like the ongoing problems, just like we're talking about now. That really speeds it up for them.
Yeah, and from an operator's perspective, if you can retain your guards, the guys that always show up on time and never call off, if you can keep those guys 100%, you'll do anything it takes to keep those guys happy, right? Now think about, you've got 20 properties around town all using the same software, and somebody does call off at gate B. You just call gate D, hey, send so-and-so over to gate B, and he just picks it up and continues to operate.
Yeah.
So for an operator, it's a huge win to have a solution like this because of the retention, the training, all the tools are the same. And, of course, from the resident perspective, they love their software. They love getting notified when a visitor comes in. They love to know that the guard's doing their job. So is the HOA going to cut that operator if they're using Gate Sentry?
Yeah, there's a lot of advantages too, even as a parent. My kid's coming home. Hey, I got home at 2 o'clock. But mm-hmm. I love the analytics on the backside too. Mm-hmm. And those reports for the bean counters on the board, right, really justify the services. And that's mm-hmm. what the guard company really needs. Because even when they were up there and they had poor service, they could say, hey, we're doing a good job. We're doing a good job. Well, yeah. How do you know you're doing
show
a good job?
Show it to me.
Now you can say, show it to me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you guys really do have a lot of cars. And with this, it helps to make that decision for the, I mean, that's really a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
That's right.
I mean,
that's right.
pretty simple.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of things. Our key focus is there's an HOA client, so we want to make sure we're giving that board member what they want. There's a property manager who's just trying to keep up, so do everything we can to support that person in their job. But if they call us, we give them 1,000 reasons why Gate Sentry is way better to use than pen and paper or any other system. There's the operators. We've got to make sure their guards are happy. The system's easy to use. It helps them retain their client, those kind of things, right? And the employees, right? So we're constantly looking at our constituents in terms of what they need for their business or their focus on that process, right? But we are innovating, like we did with the keypad, completely revolutionizing keypad, right? We're innovating with visitor passes. We're innovating in, like, with that visitor pass, what's really cool about it, when the visitor gets it, they put it in their mobile wallet, just like you do your flight, boarding pass. When you show up at the gate, it pops up on the front of your screen. So all you got to do is tap it and show it to the guard. You don't even have to dig around your phone trying to figure out where did I put that or any of that stuff. It's right there when you need it, right?
I like that.
Yep.
That is really cool.
And it helps because otherwise that's another slow point. If the visitor's there trying to look for their pass and where did I put it and I know I got this in my email, let me go through all my email. No.
Yeah.
Just pop it up on the screen as they're pulling up to the gate because we're geofenced it. We know where they are. We know that they can do that. And there's some other innovations that we're doing down the road with that same idea. If we know the visitor is coming up to the gate because that phone is in the geofence, can we do something new with that?
Oh.
And that's where I'll kind of stop. But I think you could see there's so many more things that we could do that we're looking at that I think it's an exciting time to be in this industry.
You know, so you're not only just doing for the entry at the gate. I mean, you could do it for the amenities at the HOA. So, mm-hmm. and it makes it a lot easier. They're not using multiple apps to get into the door or the fob or the key for this or the
That's
pool.
Right.
So how about pool? Like a pool pass?
Yep.
Same thing?
Yeah, definitely. It's being used already in a number of properties for, properties in Chicago and Orlando and, all over the country where they're already using it for their pools or their pickleball courts. I mean, everything. And your visitor, your resident gets a time slot. They go to the gate. They open it on their app. The resident themselves doesn't even need to use this. Because they have a button on their app they can push to open the pool gate or whatever, right?
So I'm embarrassed to say, I have pickleball courts in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So, pretty bad. You're a friend of mine. And I know you mentioned to me before, so I have 24 access. So everybody, I can throw that on my website. Because I already have an app to register for the courts. So we got to talk about that and make it real easy for them to come in, like a trek.
Yeah. Wow. It's very much like some of our resort properties where they're renting a VRBO kind of entry for a week, right? They put that visitor in the system. That visitor gets a gate code. They come to the gate. They use that code all week long. At the end of the week, the code is disabled, right? It's automatically done. So in a VRBO situation, Gate Sentry is already being used. pickleball situations, most of the time it's a gated community where their residents have access, or if they give a visitor access, they use the virtual keypad. But in your situation, exactly, same idea. Whatever, wherever you want to control access, you can now add access control with gate codes and time frames and visitors when they want to be there, when you don't want them to be there, all with this solution without having to add all the hardware, right? If you want to put in pickleball entries and you got to go put in that old school keypad, you got to drill into the concrete, you got to bore out to the get the wiring and the power and all those other things. Why? It's not necessary anymore.
All right. Can we talk about cost? Can you do, I know it's 2025, things increase, I get it. But for today, what's the average cost for somebody to do, say, this commercial property, as you're running, he's got keypads everywhere. It's an ongoing burden, right? Mm-hmm. So we were to go, we have one, two, let's say we got, well, actually two access doors, for an example.
Two doors, yeah.
Uh-huh. And then there's restroom codes here on these doors.
Oh, really?
Can we do those too?
We have devices that can work one door, two doors, four doors, up to 16 different doors.
Because there's a code in that bathroom door.
Okay. Yeah. So you can install one device, wire up all the four doors to that device, and everything will be operated through that one device. The devices are not expensive, like $1,500, $2,000, depending on how many doors, right? How scalable it is. But at that point, that's not a big investment. That's a very hidden component that's installed in a closet somewhere. Nobody ever has access to it, right? So you're not having keypads that are vandalized or somebody pulls up to it and just starts hitting codes, right? In our situation, if somebody comes up, scans the QR code and opens that keypad and tries five different codes, it'll disable that phone. They are no longer able to use the keypad.
Yeah, see, because there's people that have given out the code. And there's people all over the city that's passed it to friends. Oh, yeah, because I have an office here. Well, in fairness, I've done it.
Mm. Yeah, if you need to run in here, go to the restroom or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, people that I trust, of course, but that's really, I love that concept.
Yeah, there's a lot of things you can do with the technology, right? We control vendor hours, 7 to 7. After that, your vendor codes don't work, right? No Sundays, no holidays, all those kind of things, right? We can control the geofence. Do you want to be able to use it when you're at the gate with a resident app? They can open button. They can open doors with their button. Do you want them to be able to open it anywhere within the community? If they're at their house and they've got a friend at the gate, push the button, let them in. Or do you want them to use it only when they're at the gate? So there's so many different options that can be done with this that it gives the community or the property or the commercial facility just a number of things to control security. There's just too many things you can offer. That's the hard part. When you have great technology that's actually new and cool and innovative, right?
Yep.
Why go with the old stuff?
Yeah, 100%. So let's give a recap for you guys, all right? Nothing to be shy of. It's all around fantastic. Sounds like a fantastic deal. So let's recap. Benefits to the board members. Benefits to the property management company. Mm-hmm. Benefits to the guard owner / personnel. Can you give them kind of a closing benefit?
Yeah, right? Sure. Yeah. As a former board president, I can definitely talk that way.
Okay.
The idea is that the cost is very affordable for the HOAs. The security level is going to be double, triple what you have today, right? The retention at the gate with the guards, the security for the community is significantly higher. And the use of by the residents is high. Our average resident adoption rate in communities across the country is 90%. No other competitor can even reach 50% resident adoption because people just don't log in. They'd rather just call the gatehouse.
That's true.
And with GateCentury, we're reaching 90% or better in some of our communities. So the key is if your residents are using it and happy, the boards don't get complaints, right? And that's one of the things that boards hate is everything they do gets a complaint, right? They never get complaints with GateCentury because the residents love it, the guards love it, the property manager loves it. Now let's talk about the manager. First of all, they've got too many things to do besides managing visitors or visitor systems or any of that stuff. The only thing the manager has to do is put in a new homeowner. That's it. They're the one that gets a deed transfer, so they know that owner's here. They know that home is sold. That's the only thing they need to do. Otherwise, the guards log their own visitors. The residents put their own visitors on the list. Everything else is done by those people, right? So for the property manager, it's a godsend. They love it, right? Oh, and if they have an incident, they open up the reporting, they look at the dashboard, they see everything that happened through the day. Somebody complains that some vehicle did something, ran over a mailbox. They go look it up. There it is. License plate, search by plate number. There it is. They know who the visitor was, where they were going. Call the homeowner up and say, hey, your visitor so-and-so ran over this mailbox. Just need to let you know, whatever the process is from there. Right? So for them, it's huge, right? And then, of course, big part of your client base and your key listeners as security operators, this is game-changing. If you go in the door with a Gates software like Gates Entry, you are very different than all your other competitors on that RFP, right? And Gates Entry is affordable for operators, as opposed to trying to buy, you mentioned before, Dwelling Live or any of those other systems that have a ton of hardware up front that you got to go and put in, right? So you don't want, as a guard company, you don't want to spend all that money up front. You haven't even started collecting your normal monthly payment for your guards. And then you're going to go spend $20,000? It doesn't work. So with Gates Entry, they can do that without that upfront.
Yeah. And I have to remind them as well, we panic as owners because we think, well, what's the training going to be for me? Mm-hmm. I'm not really confident about my people putting something new on their hands right now. They're going to make me look bad, right? And it's not even my product. So you've eliminated that for sure. And you have, it's even though it's easy, you also have a pretty good training program, don't you?
Yeah.
For people to view.
Yeah, that's right. Our marketing team, amazing team, has done a great job. They put together 10 different training videos. We broke it down into 10 little short snippet videos for the guards. A minute and a half, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, whatever it is. The total training time is 40 minutes. So you could be up and running on Gates Entry, fully knowledgeable in 40 minutes or less, right? And that's the key. You get a new guard, sit them down with the tablet. Training is on the tablet. Sit them down with the tablet. Here, go through these 10 videos. 40 minutes later, they're up and running. They're working the gate. So you don't need days and days of training, 2 weeks worth of shadowing and all that stuff. Right there, 40 minutes on the videos, and you're up and running.
Yeah, it's pretty. You made it pretty simple. Well, we can't talk about the great stuff, but it sounds like you got a lot of cool stuff coming.
That's the key. Like I keep saying, you have to continue to innovate. And I think that applies to boards, property managers, operators. If as a security company, they're not innovating, bringing in innovation like Vision Insights, mm-hmm. Gates Entry, then they're not innovating. You may not be able to do much with the guards, right? What can you do? Hire a robot,
yeah.
Right? But reality is what you can do is bring in technology that makes you stand apart, right? And so with Gates Entry, what we're doing is truly innovating to the next level. In some cases, that means you may not need a guard overnight hours. Other cases, that means for your operators, hey, can you now offer virtual guard service with Gates Entry? We do that. So don't lose that contract. If your client is telling you they need to cut the contract, hey, let's do virtual guard at night. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of ways to innovate as an operator.
And by the way, you guys, you'll find yourself actually being more profitable, all right? I know everybody thinks, well, if I'm cutting my guard, I'm not going to make money, right? I don't want that tool. That's not the case. You'll actually be more profitable. And think about this. Think of the pain you have to go through just hiring people, all right? If I could just cut one body right now, just think of the benefit of that. So how about this? So do you find yourself getting more calls from property manager companies now or more guard companies wanting to get more involved?
I do get calls from guard companies, but only when they're putting in a bid, right? They're trying to win the business, so they're throwing ideas.
Kind of last minute stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And usually it is like, I got to get this bid tomorrow. Can you give me a price?
Of course. Right?
And it's not really the right option. I hate to say it, guys, but it's just not the right way to run the business. If you're not thinking of this ahead of time, and if you don't want to go into that property, hey, I want that contract, what am I going to do? Work it ahead of time. Plan ahead of time. Don't wait till you get the invitation to do RFP and then, oh, let me throw this in and see if I win it. Make it part of your business.
Okay, so you bring up a really good point. So, Mike, if I want to get a hold of you, I get a hold of you at gatesentry.com?
That's right.
Okay, now let me ask you, would you be willing or do you have stuff like marketing materials that I could throw into my website or packages you could deliver to me so I know what I'm talking about,
yep.
where I don't have to talk. I could just maybe implement it within my own little program as part of my offerings. Okay. Is that something you could do for me if I was a company?
Reality is, for the operators, is the very first sale is the most daunting. They know that. We know that. So we will act as their knowledge experts. We walk in the door, we do the pitch as if we're part of their team.
Sure.
The customer goes with them as their RFP. That operator learns how to manage Gates Entry. They learn all the tools about Gates Entry. Second pitch, that easy. Right?
There you go, guys. There's a story. Done with you or done for you? Well, guess what? It's been done for you.
Yeah.
So
there's a lot of things we innovated when I was in the guard business. And maybe a lot of people do this already, but I had to learn the hard way. When we got a new contract, it would always include Gates Entry. And it was a big highlight of our pitch because Allied was there an hour before us and Securitas before that, right? And they come in with all their bells and whistles. But when a local owned, and this is where HOAs specifically love the locally owned operator, because that guy's invested in his business and he's committed to you, right? That $300,000 contract is valuable to that local operator. For Securitas, it's just another contract that they could care less. They're looking at $10 million contracts, right? So that's where the board needs to understand. If you're walking in the door as a local operator and you've got a vested interest in them as a client, they need to understand that, right? But if you walk in with technology, Vision Insights, Gates Entry, the tools you need for that property, then you stand apart. But don't wait till the day before. Work with us. We'll put together the pitches, the marketing material. We'll teach you how to sell and answer questions, right? But when we would take over properties, first thing I would do is hardwire the guardhouse lights so the overnight guard couldn't turn it off.
Oh.
You never done that?
Sure. No, but that's, you know, it's great thinking.
Hardwire it. You don't want that light off at night because everybody that pulls up says, oh, where's the guard? He's asleep. Hardwire the lights so he doesn't sleep. Get rid of that wheelie lean back chair. We'd bring in a high top, kind of a bar type stool chair, still comfortable, but no wheels, no reclining, no up and down, just a nice hard top chair. Right? Because they can't get comfortable and fall asleep.
What about the blanket and pillow?
Yeah, that's a problem. What we'd do is we'd put in a camera in the gatehouse. If it wasn't already there, we would pay to install that camera so we could pull it up anytime we wanted to and see where the guy is, right? We'd install immediately, if it wasn't already there, speaker right there at the gatehouse door. So we know what the person said to them. Because you always get those complaints, right, guys? You get those complaints that, oh, the guard said this to me, cussed me out, this and that. And you go back and watch the video and listen to the audio, and it's complete opposite. Now you can defend your guy, right? So we'd do that. I'd put in driveway alarms on both sides. As a car's coming in, it would notify the guard. Ding, somebody's coming in. They're coming, they're leaving at 2 a.m. Ding, somebody's leaving. The guard needed to know what's happening. So we do these innovative things because you got to protect your guys. You got to make sure they're doing a good job. You got to keep them from themselves. You say that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You got to protect those guys from themselves. Don't let them sleep. If they go out to their car and fall asleep in their blanket, that's on you. But reality is, if you can do everything else around that. So these are basic issues. And then give them Vision Insights and Gates Entry and everything else that you need for that property. Now you are a good operator.
Yeah. You know, I used to use those little Amazon
Yeah.
cameras.
Yeah.
Where I could dial in and it would wake up on the screen and I can actually talk to them, not versus the regular camera. And I had those units everywhere and I could go on my mobile phone and say, hey, how you doing? Yeah, they're doing, I mean, I could just see it live. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's good mm-hmm. points. And I love those intro. I do remember at some of your locations, those alarms were really cool.
Yeah.
Let
yeah,
the guard know.
You know, you don't even need fancy cameras. You can get a Ring camera. Still talk to them through the Ring camera.
Sure can.
Right? You don't need a fancy camera. $99 at Home Depot or wherever. And put it in there, right?
Yeah, cheap investment. And then, you know, this goes, and again, you guys, this goes way beyond just HOA, right? So, you know, you got these other contracts that need these tools. You're a good resource. And that's what you have to be an ambassador, to be proactive, to be a partner. You should be, as a security consultant, looking for other really cool software solutions that benefit your client, keep them up to date. And, you know, it's another good way to, you know, retain your contract with your client too. And this is pretty good, Mike. This is really good.
Well, there's a lot of things that I did differently coming from the corporate world because I didn't know anything about security. I just went into it blind, right? Every one of my contracts required the HOA to pay quarterly up front. Can you believe that?
Wait, you do what?
The contract had to be paid quarterly up front.
And you got that?
And I got it on all 10 clients. They all paid quarterly up front. I never had a payroll problem because I got my money up front for the quarter and paid my guys over time.
See, that's corporate. That's genius because you were able to back it up. But everybody gets into panic mode thinking, well, if I ask that, they're going to go with somebody else that will only do it month to month because they want to play with their dollars.
If you didn't sell yourself and they know they want you, that they're willing to do that, then you're not selling yourself, right? You got to go in knowing that you're better than Securitas or whoever you else you want to name.
Sure.
Right? I'm not going to badmouth those guys. The point is that's the big dog, right?
Yeah.
AUS and all those guys. Go in there and sell yourself so that that HOA, and we're talking HOAs because that was my experience, right? Mm-hmm. But any contract, you sell yourself well enough that they know they want you no matter what, they'll pay you up front. You're good for it. And then you never have a payroll problem. Yeah. Imagine that. How many security operators have to go out and borrow money and get loans on their house and just to make payroll?
Mike, I moved to a location where back in the day where they delivered the mail at 7 a.m. That's where I had to go find my address because I was running the mailbox wondering if I was going
to get the checks.
Wondering if I was going to be payroll versus being tortured at the end of the day. And then I had stacking employees, you know. Mm-hmm. That's great advice if they can pull off. But you got to sell yourself.
That's right. The other thing I did in my contracts, automatic renewal. No renewing, no renegotiating at the end of the year, just automatic renewal. If we're doing our job, just keep it going, right? Automatic 5% increase every year. In the contract, signed, agreed to.
Yeah, I've mentioned that, or not mentioned it, I've talked about that quite a bit. And again, guys are scared to do that. You put it up front, and there's no problems. Because what these guys do, that's how they get behind, or that's how you get behind when you don't do that. Because your service isn't the best, you're afraid to call them, you don't want to push it. You think that number looks great. Oh, I got to look at all these contracts I have. But if you were to open it up and look at it deep, you find out you're not making money. All right. And over 2 or 3 years, how do you get out of that one?
All right. And I think the reality is if you don't get clients that are willing to do those things with you, then you're the one paying the price by waiting for 7 a.m. mail, not making payroll and people leaving you. How many shifts can you work as an operator?
Yeah, you can't.
You can't. No. Right. So then you lose the contracts anyway. Right. You're better off getting good contracts, taking care of them, and putting in these kind of terms and then building on those from one to the – because that guy loves you. He's used you for a year and everything's worked out perfectly. Have your new client call him. Hey, Mr. HOA President, what do you think of this guy? Yeah, great, right? And then build your business on that rather than building your business on sand where it just keeps falling apart and you're holding up here and holding up there and it just keeps falling. That's not a way to run a business.
No.
I would rather run 2, 3, 4 sites than 15 at – really bad terms.
Yeah.
You just can't keep it going.
Yep. Okay, I'm going to have a little fun here, you guys. You ready? I'm going to ask Mike this question. I want you to look at his face. I might even ask for hesitation marks. We'll see. So, Mike, would you ever open up another guard company today?
I could do it very easily. Of course, not because I know anything more than your operators. These guys have grown up in it. They started out as guards and they started their own business. And that's a big step for guys to go out and start their own, right? I'm not any better than those guys, but I was able to do it before and I could do it again. Now, the key is you have to have, and everybody knows this, you have to have enough properties to hire a manager. You can't run it yourself. It's just too hard. And you have to have enough people to keep it floating, right? So one property is definitely not enough, right? So you have to have quickly build up to 4 or 5 or something like that, right? Here's a couple other things I did. My site supervisor, morning shift guy, was always 40 hours a week. No other employee in the company ever got 40 hours. They were 32 hours, 24 hours. Why? Because as soon as somebody called off, they were begging for hours. They wanted more hours. Hey, I'm only getting 32. Can I get another shift? So as soon as somebody calls off, everybody wants it. Right? Mm-hmm. If you give every one of your employees 40-hour shifts, who's going to fill that shift when somebody calls off? No, I already got enough. I don't need more. I'm busy. How many times have you gone through that?
Yeah, and you'll hear the complaint too. Well, I don't want to work because I need 40 hours. But, you know, again, it's the pool too. But, yeah, that's a good point. Just like don't pay them on Friday because, you know, you're going to call off on the weekends and they got their check.
Yeah. No, and here's another interesting thing. Of course, we always paid the week after, right? That kind of stuff. So you didn't get paid till a week later. But I never, you guys may be mad at me. I never hired somebody that had security guard on their resume. If they were a guard before somewhere else, I didn't hire them. I hired retirees, college students, because they're just looking for a great job to sit at, right? They're not bringing their knowledge of security business into my company, right? If they've worked in a corporate office where you stared at all the cameras all day long and didn't interact with anybody, I don't want you to work for Gates Entry for the security company, because that's what you're expecting to do. And I mentioned earlier, in a gated community security job, you're up and talking to visitors all day long. You're up and waving at residents, welcoming them into the property all day long. You're not just sitting there looking at cameras. And if you hire a guy that's all he wants to do is look at cameras, you're going to fail. The HOA is going to hate that guy. It's going to reflect on you, and you're going to lose the contract.
Okay. Well, that pretty much explains the 32-hour thing, why it worked for you, because you weren't reaching for that pool.
That's right.
Average guard companies, just professional security officers, whatever you want to call them, they needed that 40. No, I didn't say they're going to give you a good 40 hours. That's not going to happen, the majority of them. I don't mean to badmouth the industry, but I'm going to, because you guys know you're all feeling the same pain. So a lot of you are going to agree with me. There's a lot of good security personnel out there. No, there's no question. But yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And you and the properties you did have, and I did visit them with you one time. They were all really good communities. I have to admit, they were good looking communities. Your team was. Look like Verizon representatives, customer service, right? Mm-hmm. We're able to have that conversation because they were a little more squared away. So I think you did a good job with that.
Yeah, I think that's the key. You're good security people that have done security before. Yeah, you find a good one, you put them in a security supervisor role. Great. Yeah. 40 hours a week, Monday through Friday, first shift. No problem. Everything else, part-time college student who really doesn't need 32 hours or more, he'll take an extra shift if you ask. Retiree who, you know, he's just doing it because he doesn't want to be home. Mm-hmm. And he's great quality because he came from some other job.
Yeah.
Spent 30 years in corporate life or whatever, right? So all of a sudden your employee base is respectable for that HOA. I mean, imagine those people pulling up with their Bentleys and Ferraris and all those other things, which is everything we ever see.
Yeah.
And then they're seeing a guy who's got his shirt half tucked and you can name everything else. You've seen it all, right? No, instead it's a guy. We used to have a guy on our team named Adonis. Remember him?
Yes, I do.
That guy was amazing. He was studying at a local college. He was amazing. Smart guy. Probably genius, right? And he's working the afternoon shift at this gated community. That's the kind of employee, right? So there's a number of things we covered in terms of how do you turn your business around as a security company with technology, with hiring, with even putting, you know, hardwiring lights, right? Think about all of those things. If you're an absentee owner, you're going to fail. Great. Good luck. But if you really want to make your company well and run well, think about these things. Come up with new ideas. Use technology the right way.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And I think you helped them tremendously today, just finding a different gene pool of guards, the 32 hours, the quarterly payments, the 5-6% increase each year, contract rolling over automatically. And when you're making that kind of money, you can staff a supervisor, right? Yeah. You got quality, right? And it does make the business a lot more fun, right?
That's right. And if the quality of your employees is what we just talked about, at the end of the year when it goes to renew, nobody's even thinking about it. They don't care that it's renewing. They don't even know it's renewing because they're happy. They actually don't want anything to change. Keep my guys there. I want Jack there every day.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Don't let anything change.
Yeah. You bring up a really good point, too. Plus, you know, when you have those kind of people really become familiar with the security person. If I remember correctly, around Christmas time and the holidays, your people made some very good money on what they give them checks, or what would they do?
You know, it's high-end gated communities, right?
Yeah.
And every one of these operators that runs an HOA, they know These guys have lots of money, right? And as if your guys, your employees are great and they do the job well, yeah, they get cookies and cards and all those things at Christmas, but people drop by checks. One guy cleared like $7,800 one Christmas. An extra $8,000 bonus that I didn't pay, the homeowners paid, right? Yeah. And that means, oh, I'm going to wait around to next summer, next Christmas, yeah, right?
Yeah. No, they did well.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Right? So some of the other things I required them to do is they couldn't sit. As soon as they heard that driveway alarm, they had to stand up, go to the door. If it was a homeowner, wave, smile, make yeah. sure that that system is opening. If the system's not opening and they're sitting there, help them quickly, get yeah. them through the gate. Because what happens is, and this is, I don't know how many operators can think about this, but the homeowner's coming home and they see that guy's face every day. They know that guard. Oh, yeah, that's Jeff or whoever, right? And then someday the system doesn't work for them. That RFID, the car tag system, whatever, doesn't work for them. So they're stuck there. And the guard comes over that they've seen every single day. Oh, yeah, that's Jeff. I see him every day. And the guard says, do I know you? Do you live here? Because yeah. they've been sitting in the chair, never cared that homeowner was yep. coming through, right?
Yep.
If they're not looking at that homeowner, then they don't know that person lives here.
Right.
As soon as they pull up to the gate to say, hey, I got a visitor coming, or I got a loaner today, I can't get in because I'm in a loaner, and the guard has to say, well, who are you and where do you live?
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
So true. It's a great right? point.
Even worse, think about that visitor that's coming in. She's 60-year-old lady. She's coming in her nice little Cadillac, whatever. She says, oh, I'm just here to drop her off. She lives here. And the guard looks in the car. Where do you live? What's your address? The passenger who lives there is embarrassed because she's being treated like she's not known.
Right.
And this is your reputation as a security company.
Yeah.
So if you require your guards to get up and look face-to-face, make eye contact with that homeowner as they're driving in, even if the system is working, your guy is learning who they are. Even yeah. if you don't know who their name is or anything, you know that car, that Jeep, that Cadillac, whatever is coming through. I see that guy every day. I know he lives here. So as soon as he has a problem, hey, yeah, I know you come through every day. It's not working. Let me help you out. Let me get you in. There's no question, right? So even to that smallest little degree of, can I have my guy standing in the doorway making eye contact and waving?
Yeah.
That'll keep your contract going.
Yeah. It's kind of like, well, people aren't going to remember this, a paper route. When I was a kid, mm-hmm. right, I had addresses. After a while, I didn't need that paper.
That's right.
Didn't matter. I knew the address. I knew the cars. I knew, right? It was that quick because mm-hmm. I knew my route. So almost like treating like a paper route, even though we don't have those anymore. Do they have those anymore?
I don't think they do.
Who knows?
No idea.
No, this has been a great conversation, Mike. And again, I thank you very much for flying in and talking about visitor management as a whole and Gate Sentry and the new products you got coming. I know you got some really exciting stuff eventually you'll share, so we have to have you come back again when yeah. you got those products. But very well-rounded. Guard business, corporate guy, Gate Sentry, visitor management, all the experience, software. It's pretty cool.
I think it's great to be part of the industry, even though I'm not a security operator. I know enough. Even though I'm not a property manager, I know enough, right? I used to be a board member, so great, I know that. But the point is, like you said earlier, it's not just some company that says, oh, yeah, let us know and we'll develop it in 6 months. No, we know now what our customers need. We know because we sit in the gatehouse. I had my engineers sitting with guards for months and on end to make sure it was built for them, right? So if you're going to work with a company, work with a company that has experience doing it, that had a guard business, that built a security software, that sold it and rebuilt it, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Work with the guys that are in the business that are doing it for the benefit of you and your team, not just, oh, yeah, this software looks cool. Let me just build it and sell it, right? Some corporate conglomerate kind of thing.
Yep. In a day, guys, great advice, as Mike mentioned, and I'll say it again too. Has to be a great product, obviously. That means it's easy to use. You have the customer support 100% because that's everything about the software. And the third, which is the flavor, is when they have the industry experience and they understand your personal issues and problems when your team is calling them, they can totally relate to that guard, to that manager, to that op. It doesn't matter. They can totally relate. It's not just, I'm sorry, is the software related? You're not calling Pakistan for support, right? It's the company in Dallas. It's the heart of the business. It's the owner. He's there. And his people, top to bottom, think and walk and talk just like him. So that's a big part of it. So when you're, no matter what software application you're going to, whoever you're talking to, that's what you really need to look at if you want, you know, if you want a good program. You follow those, you follow that recipe, you'd be pretty good hands. Mm-hmm. And you've done that. So again, thank you very much for coming to the podcast today, Mike. I've always wanted to get you here.
Well,
and we're here.
As I said, it's an honor to be part of this. I am excited to be a partner of sorts to Vision Insights, to Chris Anderson, and to all the operators. What we can do for you, let me know. We'll do it.
Well, let's give a plug. Where are they going to go? Give them the website.
Easy enough, Gate Sentry. Now, this is S-E-N-T-R-Y, an old term for a guard at the gate. Not sentry, 100 years. So gatesentry.com, G-A-T-E-S-E-N-T-R-Y.com.
All right, guys. You heard it from the best. That's where we're at. Thank you, Mike.
Pleasure.
Comment, like, share, and subscribe.